We come now to a time whenever we baptize people, and we always try to do the Lord's Supper immediately afterwards, because for many people, this is the first time they've ever really, truly been willing and able to accept what is given. But it is a time when we as a community of faith come to a place and receive the sacrament, the thing that God has given to us to celebrate His Son. You know, when we take the Lord's Supper, we need to prepare ourselves first for doing it. For the Bible teaches us that if we take it unworthily, it carries with it a curse. And so we want to make sure that each of us is prepared. And the way we ask for God to prepare our hearts to receive this gift that He has given us is to ask first for forgiveness of sin. Because the Lord our God says that if we're faithful to ask, He's faithful to give. And so if you will simply ask the Lord to prepare you for this moment, to forgive your sins, so that you can enter into His kingdom, into His presence, then you will be prepared to receive the gift that He gives. And so let us go before the Lord in prayer. Dear Holy Heavenly Father, we thank You and praise You that we can come to this moment of the supper of our Christ and of our Lord, of our King, and we can feast in the knowledge of Your unconditional love. Father, we thank You and we praise You that You have brought into our life the knowledge of Your Word, and that in order to prepare ourselves into Your holy presence, we need to first be forgiven of our sins. And the only thing that forgives us of sin is the blood of Your dear Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. And so, Father, we confess before You that we are sinners. We confess in our hearts that we have sinned against You and against our neighbors, that we have done things out of direct rebellion, and we've done things out of ignorance that have offended You. And so we ask, Father, for Your forgiveness. For this purpose You gave Your Son, and He gave us the promise that anything we ask in His name should be done. And so, Father, we rest upon Your word and our Lord's promise that if we are faithful to ask for forgiveness, You are faithful to forgive. And so, Father, we thank You and praise You that we are now cleansed of sin and can receive the gift of the body and blood of Your Son in the symbolisms that lay before us without any reservation, because we have asked first to be cleansed. We thank You and we praise You. In Jesus' name, amen. Jesus had a Last Supper with His friends, with those who followed Him. And it was a Last Supper in which He transformed the meaning of the Passover. Because the Passover celebrated God's deliverance for all mankind, Jesus transformed that very articles of that gift of meal. He transformed it because He is now the Redeemer. He is the one that takes us out of the bondage that we're in. And so today we celebrate that with these who have just received their baptism and with all of a family of faith. And we look upon the bread. It was unleavened bread. It was like this. This is commonly called matzah bread. And as you look upon it, it symbolizes the birth, the life, the death, and the resurrection of our Lord. He said, "This is My body." And when He did that, He meant that He was the one that gave them the bread that came from heaven. He was that manna that came from heaven. You remember that He was born in Bethlehem. That means the city of bread. He was sent here and placed in a feeding trough, so He would be consumed by you and me. The bread has no leaven. Leaven was a symbol of sin. This was bread that was made on the run, bread that the people of Israel were using as they fled from Egypt, and they couldn't wait for the bread to rise. They had to eat unleavened bread. Jesus had no sin at all in him. He was sinless in every way. Only a sinless lamb could take away the sins of those of us who have sinned. And so innocence was given for each of us in our corruption. You notice as you look at it that it is striped by the grills. And the scriptures tell us, by his stripes we are healed. Because Jesus was willing to undergo the scourging, the 99 strokes that he took upon his back, one less than the death penalty, that ripped his flesh from the bone and left him disfigured beyond almost any kind of recognition as a human being. Jesus, who had just whipped the men out of the temple, his anger on display, his love was in greater evidence when he gave himself for us and took our stripes so that we might be healed. You notice that it is pierced. There are little tiny holes in the bread. He said he was pierced for our transgressions. He was pinned to a tree high up in the air so that God could see clearly that all of your sins, all of my sins, were pinned up there by the nails in his hands so that the price of your salvation would be paid. He was the kinsman redeemer, the one who could give his life for you, just as he's given it for these who were baptized today. He gave his life for the whole world, for it was God's purpose that none should perish, but everyone should find saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. This bread he took and broke. And as he broke it into pieces, he said, "This is my body, broken for you." We symbolically break bread today. We empty it out upon a tray. We look at this bread and we say the same thing that Jesus said, because he prayed for the bread. And in his prayer was a prediction, a prophecy. He said in Hebrew, "O Lord my God, King of the universe, thanks be to you who brings forth the bread from the ground," thus predicting the resurrection that we celebrate today. This bread is broken. It was broken for you. When you hold a piece of this bread in your hand, as it is passed among you, you may have a large piece or a small piece. You have a piece of bread. Jesus said that it was his body, and that if you didn't eat and drink of his body, you would have no part of him. You know, I'm not convinced nor educated enough to know all the mysteries of God. There is a mystery why he says, "Those who profess me publicly, I will profess." As these people have professed Christ in their life publicly today, as we ask at the invitation for you to walk down and publicly offer yourselves before men and before God, I don't know why that's necessary. I know that the thief on the cross who died beside our Lord and Savior never had chance to be baptized. He never had a chance to take the Lord's Supper. He never had a chance to do any of the rituals or things of the church. I know that he was saved by the grace of God when he said, "Lord, remember me when you enter into your kingdom." His heart had been changed. He recognized the pure one that was beside him and took up for him and said, "We, each of us, have sinned. Each of us have need of a Savior. But this man has done nothing wrong." He knew then what real repentance truly means. To turn toward Christ for everything. He is the bread of life. He is the manna come from heaven. He is the true and everlasting food that you need to live your life as a new creature in Christ. Let us pray. Dear Holy Heavenly Father, as we come before you today, and this bread is passed among us, may we understand how it begins to show us a picture of our Lord and Savior. As we hold it in our hand, may we realize that he was sinless, and yet we have certain sins upon ourselves too heavy for us to bear, and that he was willing to carry those sins upon that road toward the cross. He carried them for us. We could never pay the price for those sins, and yet he paid them for us. That he suffered that we might live. Father, we thank you. May each and every one of us, as we hold the bread, understand the significance of the gift that you have given us. We know, Father, that as we take this bread and eat it, that we are doing so because it is in compliance with the Lord's wishes. For he told us to do this in remembrance of him. This is all about Jesus. This is not about anything that we should do, but this is all about Christ. Father, may we ask you to forgive our sins once again, that we might take this bread, which is a symbol of the body of our Lord, into our lives. Jesus said that you and he would come inside and sup with us. May we receive him even today. For we ask it in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
Bread and revealed that he was the Redeemer, that he was the one who would die, that he was the Paschal Lamb. It must have been awfully hard for those disciples. And yet it seems so easy for us, doesn't it? Until you realize that this bread symbolizes the body of our Lord. That he was willing to suffer for our transgressions. It's like having a war medal that belonged to your grandfather or your great-grandfather. It's a thing to treasure because the medal talks about his bravery and sacrifice. But nothing. No Congressional Medal of Honor. No high honor that we can bestow compares to this. A simple piece of bread which Jesus told us to take in remembrance of him. So as we do so, let us remember his sacrifice. And let us determine to ask him to give us the strength carry out his will on earth. But we pray. Dear Holy Heavenly Father, we pray once again that you will give us a sense of yourself, that we might know how our sins have separated us from you, and how through Christ Jesus that separation has been torn as the veil in the temple was torn from the bottom to the top, so that nothing ever again should separate us from the love and knowledge of God. We thank you for this unspeakable gift. May we take it worthy in Jesus' name. Amen.
And then he took the cup. Some call it the cup of sorrows, some the cup of pain and suffering. It was a cup of wine. Yes, folks, Jesus drank wine. I was once at a church where they were giving out the Lord's Supper. And one of the pastors related to me a story he had heard. There was a woman there who came out of the bathroom with another woman. It was in a little alcove where they couldn't be seen by the pastor, and the pastor couldn't see them. And they were fussing at one another. And the one lady was really getting on the other lady, and she said, "I never see you in church. You're never here. You're never here. And you're never here when we do Bible study. You're never here when we do church service." She said, "The only time I ever see you is once or twice a year." And she said, "And last week we saw George and you going into that new Italian restaurant there on the street, and you were both drinking wine." The woman tried to defend herself, and she said, "Even Jesus drank wine." And the woman said, "Yes, and that's something I never liked about Jesus." This was a cup of joy. And in the Passover, they take the cup of joy. They take several glasses of wine. One of the men who is a Christian, who was raised in a Jewish home, told us on many occasions here in this place when we have done the Seder meal, how his uncle, who was Jewish, would lead this Passover meal and get quite tipsy toward the end and forget some of the things he was supposed to do because he drank so much wine. This is juice. This is Welch's juice. It is a symbol of the wine, but Jesus made it another symbol. He said that this is my blood given for you. This is my blood. He shed all of his blood for all of the world. He shed it for Muslims and Hindus. He shed it for you and for me. He shed it for everyone who is in the world. Not everyone receives it, but he shed it for everyone, for it is God's predestined plan that all should come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. And so he gave his life for us. The life is symbolized by the cup. The cup, he said, was his blood. He said a prayer before they took the cup. The cup, perhaps something like this. He said, "Blessed art thou, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who bringeth forth the bread from the ground and who creates the fruit of the vine." You and I are the fruit he was giving thanks for. He knew that there would be people who came long after these disciples were in his presence, long after they had given up and died in this earth, that would come to knowledge of Christ through their works and through him. He is the vine, and we are the fruit of the vine. And so he asked us to do something that was abhorrent to the Jews, and that was to touch anything that had blood in it. But he said, "If you don't take this, you don't take me." In other words, you take all of me as I am, or you reject me as I am. He is the Lord God. He is Jesus, the Son of God. In the beginning was the Word. He is that Word. You can either believe that or you can believe only part of it. But if you believe only part of it, you're not worthy of this. He wants you to know that he has given himself in entirety for you. And so he raised the cup. As this cup is passed around, and you find, we ask you to hold it in your hand until we all drink it together. But I want you to think about the fact that we are all sinners in need of a Savior, that all of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. There's no one here who has not sinned, only Jesus. This is the price that was paid for your deliverance. This is the price. I want you to think about whether or not you would give this much blood, a thimble's full of blood, of your own blood, to to those who hated you. For while he was on the cross and we were still his enemies, he asked the Father to forgive you. Would you forgive others today? Would you give them the greatest transfusion that the world has ever known? My youngest son, Zachary, in a health class, came back to me excited one day. He said, they have found that the blood on the Shroud of Turin, which you may accept or not, was a type of blood called the universal donor. That is what Jesus is. He is the universal donor. He gives us life. He gives us his own blood that we may have that life. Let us go before him in prayer. Dear Holy Heavenly Father, as we come before you this morning, we ask your forgiveness of our sins. We ask that we may accept this wonderful gift, this gift of the blood of Jesus into our lives. We know it's just a symbol, Father, but you can turn fishes and loaves into large enough group of fishes and loaves to feed the thousands. You can take the widow's mite and make it greater than all the other offerings. You can take the small things and make them into magnificent, wonderful things. And so, Father, we understand that it is by your power and your power alone, not by any symbol, that we are saved. But, Father, may we understand as well that today these things are meant for us to use as remembrance tools that we might remember the sacrifice of Christ. Father, we thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' precious name, amen. We sing an old song, there's power in the blood. In England, they have a healing service once a month. It is nothing more than a communion service. And the sick go because they acknowledge the fact that Jesus is the healer, that there is power in his blood. We need to acknowledge that today, that we may have a physical need, we may have an emotional need, we may have a spiritual need. Jesus came to heal us by his power. This he gave to us to remember that Jesus loved you enough to give his healing power to you while he was yet on a cross. Being scourged by men, being stabbed, being pinned to the cross with nails. This is what he gave us. The blood that heals your heart and gives you life. May we pray. Dear Holy Heavenly Father, we thank you once again for the blood that was shed by Jesus. We thank you for its properties, for its property to give us life and joy, to give us all of the promises that you have made in your holy word, to access your very presence. Father, there are many here who are sick. There are many here who are afflicted. There are many here who have sorrows and other things in their heart. And Jesus asks us to cast all of them upon him, that he would carry them upon his back and nail them to his cross, and he would bleed for us. Father, we thank you and praise you for this gift of life we hold in our hand. May it be something that grows in our heart as we take this juice. May you touch it and us. Father, we ask that we should do this in praise of the one you sent, and in his memory, and to your glory. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. We come to a last portion of our service. It is last simply because it is at the end of the service, not because it's the least important. The most important thing that we can do as we leave this place today is to give our lives to Christ so that he may use our lives for his glory. That is why we've come. That is why we live our lives. And so we offer an invitation. An invitation to those who may have come and may not know the Lord as your Savior when you enter this building. But you've been moved, and perhaps now, as the Holy Spirit prompts you, you would want to come. You would want to give your life to Christ. Perhaps you've backslidden and walked away from God and haven't been the kind of follower you should have been. Well, this is the time to rededicate your life to him. We offer this in his name because he offered it to us. He spread his arms open this wide and said, "Whoever will may come." And so we do the same. We never have a service in which we do not offer everything we have. You know, there was a time when people only came to the church for refuge or for money or for food or for sustenance. And there was a beggar on the steps, we're told, and St. Peter saw him. And the beggar asked of St. Peter whether he would give him silver or something in which to buy a meal. And Peter looked at him and said, "Silver and gold have we none, but what we have we give you. Arise and be healed." Silver and gold have we none, but what we have we want you to have as well. We want you to know our Christ and our Lord. So let us go before him one last time in prayer, and then we'll have an invitation to life. Dear Holy Heavenly Father, we thank you for an opportunity to spread the love that you have sent into this world. We thank you, Father, that you have given us so abundantly, beyond which we are able to think about or even comprehend, pressed down and shaken together and overflowing in our hearts. Father, there may be some who are in this room who never given themselves to you, and they've never followed you in baptism, and they've never followed you in any obedient way. But today, from what they've seen and what you've taught them by your Spirit, they want to respond to you. And so, Father, we pause and give them that opportunity. Father, cast your nets. May no one come because of any other reason than you have called them. But may they come now into the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. May they receive the glorious things that you have for them. May they be washed clean of their sins and given a fresh start and a new beginning. Father, we ask this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. The invitation of Christ continues on. It is for anyone and everyone, wherever you are. All you have to do is reach out to the Father in prayer. And now, will you stand and bow with me for the congregational blessing? May the Lord bless and keep you. May he make his face to shine upon you and give you peace. And may you exit this place knowing that the love of God goes with you wherever you go. That his strength is there for you to pick you up from wherever you fall. That he is there to embolden you to share his word with others. That he is here as your teacher and guide to love you and care for you. May you spread his love through the world. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.